Sunusha, very good morning to you once again and welcome.
Good morning, Suleiman. How are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
Very well, thank you.
Let's start with the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. There's a month to go, but protesters say it's never too late to cancel, and they are planning rallies against the Games proceeding.
Yeah, I mean, this Olympics, you know, apart from the fact that you have the COVID-19, which the Japanese government had to postpone from last year, and they're talking about having it in August this year, or in July, August this year. The Olympics has now been caught in a lot of controversy. I mean, the planned marches, the planned protests that happened yesterday, essentially was about two or three things. Firstly, the question was, could the game still happen when the pandemic is still very ripe in the world? Protesters, around 15 groups that have come into an alliance. One of the biggest groups is a Japanese-based group that are saying that the games are not necessarily something that would help Japan in terms of what's happening in the country. They're talking about financial burdens, added financial costs. They're talking about bribery, corruption in contracts, and they're also talking about ecological devastation. So their argument is that as much as countries want to host these big mega sporting events, the problem is that these sporting events don't do much for the country in terms of going beyond just a prestigious kind of identity or a prestigious kind of brand. But beyond that, it creates a lot of burden on the host country. And I think we know this, Suleiman, with the 2010 World Cup. I'm not necessarily talking about the dynamics around, you know, contracts, etc. But I mean, apart from just the prestige, what else does it do for the country? And I think this is what the group, the alliance, is talking about. And they're saying that, you know, as much as we agree that this is a good thing for Japan, beyond the prestige, what else does it do for the country? And then, of course, you've got the medical groups in Japan, especially in Tokyo, arguing that perhaps it's not responsible for Japan to be hosting the games now during the pandemic, because you don't want to be responsible for causing more infections to take place. And their argument is that there's an already burdened medical environment and a healthcare system in Japan, where they are struggling to take care of people that are infected. They've got a very a worn out medical personnel, and they're arguing, how much more can we do? So I think these are the kinds of issues that are beginning to come into the fold. Not so much about whether it's just, you know, Japan can go ahead and host the games, because I think the other side of the argument for government is they're feeling that they need to save face. They're feeling that it's going to be a reputational risk for them if they don't host it. But I think these are very important things in terms of looking at mega events now as we move forward in the context of the Olympic Games.
Now, the UK has started talks to enter the Asia-Pacific trade deal, but US lawmakers seem open to a narrower Asia trade pact in the wake of the TPP failure.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting that UK in the last couple of weeks, in fact, since it started to look beyond Europe for trade deals, for market access, has been on the charmer fence in Asia-Pacific. Recently, the Prime Minister was speaking about the relationship that the UK has with Asia. They are now negotiating to engage with the Comprehensive and Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership trade bloc, and that is essentially the CPTPP is essentially the successor to the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement that Obama put into place, which President Trump actually then removed when he was in office. And that's a big mega trading deal with the Asia-Pacific. So what the UK is doing is that the UK is looking at this and saying, we need to expand beyond Europe, given the tensions we have, the structural constraints and the Northern Ireland question with regard when it comes to Europe. And the Brexit, we need to now look for markets beyond that. And so they're talking to that trading bloc, and they're also talking to ASEAN to develop a trading, a dialogue partnership status in ASEAN. So essentially what the British are doing is that they're on a charm offensive to find markets beyond Europe. And of course, you know, Asia is looking as well to countries to invest, to become partners, because there's also a little question of China and what China is doing. And there's a sense that we need to also be insulated against China's economic footprint in the region. On the other hand, in the U.S., they've taken a more cautious, a more narrow approach. They're more kind of thinking about how they engage with the region, not on the basis of just going in a kind of economic largus, but I think in the same way in terms of being much more cautious. So a kind of cautious approach to the region, but also one that's built around the rules-based trading system. So the U.S. Congress, the senators, debating this in the Congress, are arguing that it should be more rules-based, it should be about human rights, it should be about labor law, it should be about environmental protection, etc. So there's that angle, and that's also then another trajectory in trying to say to China, and this has came out very, very clearly in the G7 summit, where the G7 leaders spoke a lot about the fact that there should be a human rights approach to trade.
And then finally, the giant panda Shin Shin has given birth to twins at the Japan Zoo.
Ah, that's a wonderful story. I think we need a feel-good story in the world that we live in today. This is a momentous event. It's also a very rare event when you see a panda give birth to twins. I think for two or three reasons. One is when a panda gives birth, they only take care of the one cub that they give birth to. So what the Japanese zoo authorities are saying is that they're taking care of the second panda, and the second panda is quite frail at this point. But it's also about the fact that the panda species are basically protected, so this is important in terms of breeding and trying to populate the panda species. And thirdly, it's also about the fact that it is a part of China's panda diplomacy, where it uses pandas and loans them to other zoos, and that is part of their foreign policy and strengthening ties.
As always, Anusha, pleasure talking to you.
Lovely, and you have a great day, Solomon.
You too.